This morning I was encouraged also with the song service. I heard the word trust quite a bit. This morning I wanted to talk about trusting God when we're fearful. I have a little story here of a girl that was fearful, and she trusted God, and God kept her safe. Psalms 56:3 says, "When I am afraid, I will put my trust in you." So it was a kind of a long story here. So the first little part of it, I was just gonna say it short form. So it's a story of a little girl. Her name was Prudence, and maybe some of you heard this story before, but she woke up. This was quite a few years ago, maybe a couple hundred years ago. She woke up in a cabin one morning, and she thought it seemed kind of cold, and she remembered that her dad had gone to town the day before to get some supplies, and she came to realize that the fire went out, and it was cold out. So I'm not sure why they didn't have another way to light the fire, but I think it was maybe a common thing for them to just run over to the neighbors and get some hot coals. So her little brother Benjamin, her big brother Benjamin, was arguing with her that he should be the one to go, but he ended up not going because he had a sore throat. So that's where I'll start in the story here. Prudence found it difficult to hurry. She could not run because of her heavy wraps. In addition, the iron pot got heavier the further she went, and it kept bumping against her leg. Even before she reached Lucas's clearing, Prudence began dreading the return trip. But she did surprise Abigail. So that was her friend's house that she was going to. "Prudence," her friend exclaimed when she opened the door, "how did you get here? Have you come to spend the day? Did you come alone? Come on in by the fire. You must be frozen." Prudence sank gratefully into the bench by the fireplace. She pulled off her mittens and began unwinding the muffler around her neck. "Yes, I came alone, but I cannot stay. Our fire went out, and I came to borrow some live coals. I'm not cold except for my feet and fingers. Oh, it feels so good to rest." Then she explained the circumstances at home. "The poor family," exclaimed Miss Luke. "Warm your hands and feet while I fill your pot. Abigail, get her some hot cider. I wish you could spend the day, but you must hurry back after you have rested a little. I cannot imagine how your family is feeling, how your family is keeping warm without a fire." "Oh, Prudence, you are brave," said Abigail as she filled a mug with cider. "I think I would be scared to go that far through the forest alone. I was the only one who could come. Benjamin tried to frighten me by talking about bears and panthers and wolves, but he didn't scare me. I know what to do if something comes after me. Remember, you told me that a panther won't attack if you keep facing it." "Well, that's what I've heard people say," replied Abigail with a laugh. "I've never tried it, and I hope I never have to." "This pot will get heavy," said Mistress Luke. A few minutes later, as she fitted the lid onto the pot, "I filled it full because you don't want the coals to go out before you reach home. Walk carefully and don't hurry lest you stumble. Of course, you can change hands or set the pot down and rest a little. The most important thing is to guard the coals and get them home safely." "Thank you so much, Miss Luke," said Prudence, taking the pot. "I wish I could stay longer, but I'd better be on my way. Goodbye, Abigail." Prudence was glad for the few minutes of rest she had gotten at the Luke's. But on the trail toward home, she soon lost track of the time. She lost track of the times she set the pot down and rested. Then she began counting the number of steps between each stop. Often, while she waited to get her breath and flex her arms, she held her mittened hands on the sides of the black pot to warm them. Once, when she had paused to rest, her eye caught a movement behind her. Turning, she saw a long, tan animal slink out of the underbrush. It lowered its head and sniffed the trail. Then it sat on its haunches and looked at her. Prudence caught her breath. A panther. Cold fear washed over her. She stood motionless, staring at the panther. It just sat there, just as still, staring at her. Always face a panther, and it won't attack you. The words leaped into her mind. Her heart slowed its rapid beating, and she began breathing again. I don't need to worry, she told herself. But immediately, Prudence saw her problem. The only way to keep facing the panther was to walk backwards. Benjamin had warned her against trying to do so while carrying the pot of coals. Well, no matter what he said, she would have to try it anyhow. She reached down for the handle of the pot. At her first movement, the panther dropped to a crouch and slunk into the forest. Prudence drew a sigh of relief. Abigail had told her the truth. She had faced the panther, and it had disappeared. However, her relief did not last long, for suddenly she saw a brownish yellow movement in the brush and realized the panther had not run away, but was creeping toward her, trying to keep hidden along the side of the trail. Panic seized her. What could she do? Run? No one could outrun a panther. Climb a tree? A panther could climb better than she. Scream for help? Not a soul in the wilderness would hear her. Yell at the panther? Yes, she could do that. Scat, scat, go on. Get out of here, she shouted, waving her arms and flapping her shawl. At the sound of her voice, the panther stopped, but only for a minute. Then it started toward her again, weaving its pale brown body around the tree trunks and bushes, coming closer and closer. Always face a panther. That's what I'm doing, but the panther is still coming, thought Prudence in frantic despair. The burning coals? Wild animals feared fire. Might she frighten the panther away by throwing the pot of coals at it when it comes close? Then she thought of mother and Benjamin and the baby. For hours they had been trying to keep warm in the cold cabin. They didn't even have anything warm to eat or drink. They were counting on her to bring the coals. She must guard them and keep them and get them safely home at any cost. She ought to be hurrying home, but she had not taken one step in that direction since seeing the panther. Always face a panther. Benjamin had thought Abigail's advice had sounded silly. He had been right, for the panther was still creeping toward her, step by slow step. Then she remembered mother's words. You know that only God can keep you safe from harm. Call on him if you need help. Yes, oh yes, of course. She knew that all her life. She had known no one but God can help in time of trouble. How foolish to have trusted in what Abigail had heard someone say. Help me, Father in heaven, she implored. Keep me safe and help me get the coals home without losing them. Now what should she do? For a moment, she forgot the panther and thought again of the cold cabin. She could almost see Benjamin bundled in his warmest clothes and wrapped in a comforter. She could imagine him standing at the window, hoping any minute to see his little sister come down the trail with a pot of live coals. And she had already wasted all this time facing the panther instead of hurrying home. Prudence picked up the pot and looked toward the panther. This time he had not hunkered down when she moved. He was rising up and was looking back along the trail with his ears pricked forward. Then, before she could think, she saw the long tan body quickly turn. She caught one glimpse of it slinking away through the underbrush. Prudence, too, looked back along the trail, and there, at a fast canter, came Father on Nellie. So, we can see here that in time of fear, she prayed to God, and God had kept her safe and had rescued her. Proverbs 29:25 says, "Whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe." So a couple examples that I'll talk about a little bit here from the Bible. I also thought of Daniel in the lion's den. We heard some about Daniel this morning. Daniel, he was faithful and prayed to God every day. And even if it meant his life, he put his trust in God. Being thrown into a lion's den would probably be one of the most scary things, don't you think? But the Bible says that when the next morning the king, or maybe even the night before, the king said he didn't eat, and he went home and he did not participate in the normal things that he normally participated in. And the next morning he went out early in the morning, and he called down to Daniel. He said, "Daniel, your God who you serve, did he save you?" And Daniel, was probably a quiet voice, said, "Yes, he kept me safe." And the angels came through the night, and they shut the mouths of the lions. Another one I thought about was Jesus walking on the water. I was going to read something there in Daniel. "Then King Darius sent this message to the people of every race and nation and language throughout the world. Peace and prosperity to you. I decree that everyone throughout my kingdom should tremble with fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, and he will endure forever. His kingdom will never be destroyed, and his rule will never end. He rescues and saves his people. He performs miraculous signs and wonders in the heavens and on earth. He had rescued Daniel from the power of the lions." So then the next story I thought about was Jesus walking on the water. You guys remember when Jesus told his disciples they were tired, and he told them, "I'll come later. You guys just go ahead and sail over to the other side of the lake or the sea, and I'll come find you guys later." And I don't know how far it was, if it took that long to sail across the sea, or if they got lost in the middle of the night, but there's a storm came up. They were in a small boat out in the middle of the water. I'm imagining they were probably lost, and they weren't sure which way to turn, and they probably expected to not stay afloat much longer. And one of them seen something out on the water. And he said, "Oh, it's a ghost." And then they were even more frightened. And as the person came closer, they thought, "Well, is that Jesus? Kind of looks like him." And they called out to him. I think it was Peter. He said, if it's you, Lord, allow me to walk on the water to you." And Peter stepped out on the water, and he took a few steps, and then he began to sink because he was looking at the distractions around him. The waves were crashing and the winds were blowing, and Jesus reached out his hand and he got a hold of Peter's hand, and he pulled him up, but he saved him. Another story here I was thinking about was Elisha and the invisible army. I was going to read some of that. "When the king of Aram was at war with Israel, he would confer with his officers and say, 'We will mobilize our forces at such and such a place.' So the king of Aram, he would get together with his top officers, and he would say, 'Okay, so on this day at this time, we're going to attack Israel.' And they won't be expecting it because maybe they're having a feast or something that day. But immediately Elisha, the man of God, would warn the king of Israel, "Do not go near that place, for the Arameans are planning to mobilize their troops there." So the king of Israel would send word to the place indicated by the man of God. Time and again, Elisha warned the king so that he would be on the alert there. The king of Aram became very upset over this. He called his officers together and demanded, "Which of you is the traitor? Who has been informing the king of Israel of my plans?" So they could never trap him. Every time they tried to corner them or take them by surprise, it just never worked out. And finally the king said, "This is not accident. Somebody amongst us is giving them our secrets." He said, "Now who is it? Who's telling them our secrets?" "It's not us, my lord the king," one of the officers replied. "Elisha, the prophet in Israel, tells the king of Israel even the words you speak in the privacy of your bedroom." "Go and find out where he is," the king commanded, "so I can send troops to seize him." And the report came back, "Elisha is at Dothan. So one night the king of Aram sent a great army with many chariots and horses to surround the city. When the servant of the man of God got up early the next morning and went outside, where there were troops, horses, and chariots everywhere. "Oh, sir, what will we do now?" the young man cried to Elisha. So this was Elisha's servant. So he probably went to the door first, and he looked out, and he just thought, there's no way of escaping. Everywhere you look, there's chariots and horses. "Don't be afraid," Elisha told him, "for there are more on our side than on theirs." Then Elisha prayed, "O Lord, open his eyes and let him see." The Lord opened the young man's eyes, and when he looked up, he saw the hillside around Elisha was filled with horses and chariots of fire. So God allowed him to see all the angels and how they were being protected. As the Aramean army advanced towards them, Elisha prayed, "O Lord, make them blind." So the Lord struck them with blindness, as Elisha had asked. Then Elisha went out and told them, "You have come the wrong way. This isn't the right city. Follow me, and I will take you to the man you are looking for." And he led them to the city of Samaria. As soon as they had entered Samaria, Elisha prayed, "O Lord, now open their eyes and let them see." So the Lord opened their eyes, and they discovered they were in the middle of Samaria. So for them, they probably thought this meant sure death. They were tricked, and Elisha led them right into the middle of the city that they were going to take in battle. When the king of Israel saw them, he shouted to Elisha, "My father, should I kill them? Should I kill them?" "Of course not," Elisha replied. "Do not kill prisoners of war. Give them food, drink, and send them home again to their master." So the king made a great feast for them and sent them home to their master. After that, the Aramean raiders stayed away from the land of Israel. So there we see that many times we are protected, and we can't see the things that we're protected from. I was thinking of just small things I know that children are many times afraid of, just little things like going to the basement, going outside in the dark, a thunderstorm. So the other night I thought about that. I was laying in bed, and it was thundering pretty loud, and I was fearful for a second. I was thinking, there's a tree right beside our house, right where I'm sleeping. But I had to just pray to God and ask for protection. Maybe it's dogs. Or another one I thought about was, how many of you have chickens? You guys go out and gather eggs. Is there maybe a rooster you're afraid of? Yeah, that verse back here again. Whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Does God only keep us safe from big things? No, he will protect us from anything that we are afraid of. We just need to remember to ask him. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His angels are still protecting us the same way today as they did in Elisha's day. If God notices a small bird, he certainly cares for your needs and your fears. So that's all I had. I'll pray and then you'll be dismissed. So let's pray. Lord, we come to you. We thank you for each of the children here. We just pray that this story, this lesson made sense to them. And we just pray that you would teach all of us to trust in you when we are tempted to be fearful. We just pray that you would be with Matt for the main message and bless him, give him peace and courage and boldness, and just pray that you would be in our midst the remainder of the day here. In your name we pray. Amen.